It is a Monday afternoon here on the Green Zone. Locker and I have been talking about this in commercial breaks, but a little later on, I think we're going to have to talk about it now. Ron McLean, Don Cherry, and Bobby Orr are all trending at the same time. That can't be good. More drama between Ron and Don over the last couple of days.
Because Ron just needs to, I think the best thing for him would be, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, he's got to stop commenting on
just
it.
Decline.
It's a no-win.
Can we talk about Don? No, I don't. Every time I talk about Don, it doesn't go well. He hasn't learned that lesson yet. So,
and it is just on Twitter. I get that. But there are, it doesn't, literally Ron could say the nicest thing about Don and it would light up Twitter. And it would make Bobby Orr mad.
And doesn't sound like Bobby Orr is too happy with the latest development between Ron and Don. It's now been going on for 6 years.
I read what Ron said. It's like, whatever. He made a couple of he speculated. He shouldn't have. We both agree on that. Whatever.
Well, we'll let you know on the latest fallout between Ron McLean and Don Cherry, which has Bobby Orr writing letters to newspapers in Toronto.
Should take out some ads, too.
But each and every week here on the Green Zone, after every Rough Rider game, Locker and I bring out our red pen and start grading the performances as we go back to a 24-10 loss to the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday afternoon in a much-delayed football game as the Riders suffered their first loss of the season.
Jamie and I, would you like to start with your failing grade?
My failing grade goes to the Rough Riders' offensive and defensive lines. They had no push defensively, lack of protection, and no holes for the running back. Offensively,
belt to ass, we got whooped. That's what it is.
That's what it was. Belt to ass.
Belt to ass, we got whooped. That's what it is.
Yep, they did. They Calgary Stampeders owned the line of scrimmage and owned the football game. I think 24-10 actually might have flattered the Riders a little bit in the game on what eventually kicked off on a Saturday afternoon. Locker, what do you got for your failing grade?
I got a couple of failing grades. My first failing grade goes to the Gatling gun, the t-shirt cannon. Listen, this isn't the first time that I've seen this thing not work properly. Is it time for an overhaul or possibly a replacement? Because every time, and you can tell they know it's not going to work because they got people in the stands throwing out balls and t-shirts in case it doesn't work. So retire the damn thing or take it to the dump. Do something with it. Makes a lot of noise and it does nothing. It doesn't fire anything. What are you doing?
When I'm in the press box, it's every game. It is. Uh-oh. Is it going to work today? No, it didn't work today.
So it's not just me?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It is. I think it's a 50-50 shot whether that thing works.
Listen, I know about 10 people in my life that would, they'd be willing to come here and would fix that thing.
They should bring this, just bring the slingshot back. The old Direct West yellow slingshot where they put the ball in and one at a time,
woo, yes,
fire it into the upper deck.
Do that. I like that idea.
Do you know who used to fire that thing? The mayor, Pat Fiacco, used to be on the side, not when he was mayor, but when he was.
What about the gopher?
Gainer would try it every once in a while. He'd give it a go.
Gainer, the slingshot.
Big hands are
what
really
could go wrong?
Complicated for him to fire one off.
My second failing grade.
You have two failing grades?
I got two, yeah. I had three, but you were getting mad at me for the.
And another thing.
Okay, my second failing grade. Run the ball! Run the ball!
There's a text.
Run the ball! What are you doing? It didn't work a couple of times. That doesn't mean you give up on it. Did Trevor Harris? I think Kadeem Carey got a chance once in the third, if I'm not mistaken. And A.J. was out there for every play. They threw to him a couple of times. Run the ball!
Matt texted in. He agrees with you. Bailing on the run game gets my failing grade after six attempts.
All right.
The inexperience of Mark Mueller as the offensive coordinator might be showing, said Matt in Regina. So he agrees with you, Locker.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Jamie, your top grade?
Well, my top grade's an easy one. It's Rider Nation. Rider Nation gets the top grade from Friday and Saturday, especially those, and I know there were a few, more than a few, who drove an hour or two into Regina on Friday, drove an hour or two back Friday, got home at Saturday morning, took a quick nap, grabbed a coffee, and drove all the way back to Regina to watch that bleep show on the field from the Riders and then drive all the way back. They probably spent just as much on gas as they did on tickets and food.
Well,
top grade goes to Rider Nation because there was way more people there on Saturday than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah, the crowd was decent on Saturday. The funniest sign I saw was a guy was holding it up, and it just said, "I slept in my truck for this."
Probably did, too.
Yeah, so you got to give them points. Got to give the fans. And I will say this, a lot of people, you know, questioning how long they postponed it, whether they should have played. And I get that conversation. But the thing that I thought was impressive is, listen, there were more drunk people. Like, it was a drunker event than I've seen since I've been here. But I thought the crowd was pretty decent. Like, everyone handled what happened on Friday. I mean, listen, social media, it was ugly after the fact.
The keyboard warriors were out.
But I was
half of them probably weren't even there.
I think did I tell this story with Aaron earlier about the guy that we were standing at the gates waiting for the announcement at 10? And when they made it, he was piled. And he just yelled out, "We got a hall pass, boys!" He was excited that he was going to get to stay out past 10.
Mike Kerr, I don't have to go home to Ma until maybe 2. I thought it was great. What's your top grade there, Locker?
Okay, well, I got a handful as well. Okay, my first top grade goes to Joe.
Top grade
number 82.
Is an individual, the top grade.
Yeah,
the one at the top
you do
of
you.
The list.
You do you. I'll do me. Joe Robustelli.
Now he's going to look for an end zone shot. Got it. Touchdown, Saskatchewan. Robustelli's got it first.
I was impressed with his play. He had 11 receptions, 191 yards, one touchdown. That's his first two in the CFL. Average yards per reception, 17.4. And then my second top grade goes to the Green Zone game day panel. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl, Belton, and Jamie, between the 2 days, they spent 11 hours on the air broadcasting your pre- and your post-game shows. Not only that, this man right here, although he's been a little hard to deal with today, showed up on Monday and didn't take the day off.
Should have taken the day off.
So congratulations.
Although Sheldon disagrees.
Belton, you were totally wrong. You could probably cook a roast perfectly on a smoker, but your prognosis in this game was totally wrong. Jamie, yours was wrong. Daryl's was totally wrong.
Yeah.
there is nothing worse than Rider fans sitting in this province and say they are the best.
Sheldon was a Stamps fan, by the way,
yeah.
Who called the postgame
show. That was my favorite call on the postgame show, by the way. Thank you, Sheldon. Putting you three in your place. Some point, were you guys going to admit you were wrong? Do it.
Even though we opened the postgame show going, well, we got that one wrong. Whoops. All of us picked the Riders. Dave, you want to weigh in with your top grade, your failing grade. Let's start with your failing grade. Let's start with the bad news. What do you got for the failing grade, Dave?
Hey, well, before I go to the failing grade, I just want to say I texted you earlier and said that the quote of the day today is when Locker's screaming, "What about the cheerleaders?" So just for the record.
Someone needs to take care of the cheerleaders. That's all I have to say about it.
But I would say the failing grade, it's going to be, I'm going to have to say, it starts with me and the rest of the coaching staff. Because how many times on Saturday did Trevor nothing but throw passes to the sidelines? And then the one time that they actually threw it down the middle, they actually got yardage. So the actual plays that they were doing, it was a really, can't say it on the radio,
very predictable,
blank game. Like, you know what I mean? And so that's my failing grade, goes to the coaching staff.
What's your top grade, Dave?
My top grade is Locker. Locker.
What did I do? The pill? The pill, like, on Friday night?
Just like you just said, Locker and the rest of the fans that stuck around. And I'm going to have to say Locker's buddy with his Pilsner selling the mini donuts. That's a passing grade. Rider Nation, just like you just said.
I think it's a bank account. The mini donut guy's bank account also is a passing grade too.
He is on a trip somewhere right now.
There's a lot of food. I imagine the concessions were among the best they've been at New Mosaic Stadium.
That mini donut lineup was
a half hour delay.
30, 40 minutes long the whole night on Friday night.
As we continue here on the Green Zone, your top grades, your failing grades from a Saturday afternoon at Mosaic. We'll get those next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Here in the Green Zone on this Monday after the Riders lose their first game of the season, we'll go back to the fan line. Dave, you have some top grades and failing grades. Let's start with the failing grade. What do you have?
My failing grade is the offensive coaching staff coordinator. I think the old veteran Slowick there, he taught Mark Mueller a lesson. It didn't seem to matter what Mueller tried to do. They were on top of it. And I think Mark's got to improve on that, I think.
And what do you got for the top grade, Dave?
My top grade is Joe Robustelli. He had a great game, and I only hope now he doesn't get his butt stapled to the bench like our other top interior defensive lineman has, Talib Sanders. The difference in this team this year in the defense is last year we had Micah Sanders, Miles Brown, Anthony Lanier, all rotating on that interior, and they were harassing the quarterback, and that was turning into interceptions and turnovers. This year, we got nothing in the middle. We're going with Micah, another year older, probably a mile an hour slower. We got Rose, who come over from Calgary, who has been very unimpressive to me, and we got a rookie in Sod in there, and we're rotating those three, and they have not done a lot. They're getting ran on. They aren't getting pressure up front. And we're sitting Talib Sanders, a 25-year-old, who, if this continues, will probably be employed somewhere else next year, just like Miles Brown is this year.
Dave, well pointed out. Sanders has missed the last two games. Healthy scratch. Over 100 yards rushing both games against without Caleb Sanders in there. As we get to Rob in Saskatoon, you have a failing grade. Rob, what do you got?
The whole debacle on Friday night, I left a real sour taste in my mouth. We sat there for 4.5 hours with nothing, an announcement maybe two times or three times the whole time saying that the smoke is still in the area and we're still under delay. They could have come out and said, you know, the smoke is at a 9, we need to get below 8, and give us, like, and do that every 20 minutes or so, so you know what's going on. We had to stay right to the very end because we went up on the bus. So we were stuck there till, and then on top of it, the CFL protocol is clear that if the game can't be played within 3 hours, it's gone. It's ended.
Well, Rob, that's the issue. That protocol is only for a delay during the game. I got clarification from the CFL. There is no policy if the ball never gets kicked off. Zero policy. They can wait forever. There's nothing written. If there's a delay during the game, that's what kicks off that three-hour delay. That's a key thing to point out.
I will say, just on Rob's comment there, that I think maybe a more in-house announcements, yep, and I don't know, an attempt to try to entertain people as well a little bit more.
Well, the commissioner said that was a fail. He even acknowledged it, saying we need to be way more specific to the fans. The wind has died. It's no longer pushing the smoke out at the speed we anticipated. It's at a 10. We need it at 7 or below.
Yeah.
we are going to wait until this time to call it and just be a lot more transparent. Jamie Locker with you here on this Monday afternoon on the Green Zone. Still to come, we have our Monday fan free-for-all just past 4 o'clock where you can call. Maybe you have more grades for us from the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. We'll hear
a lot of people are going to want to talk about tennis today.
Wasn't a very long women's championship match, under an hour. But men's match was pretty darn good. But right now we're going to go to Edmonton as... I wouldn't quite say there's trouble in paradise, but there's trouble in Edmonton again for the Elks as Matthew Iwanek joins us from Edmonton Sports Talk. I'm going to start with this, Matthew, and thanks for joining us again, by the way, as always.
Of course, happy to be here.
Do you know what yesterday was in Edmonton, I guess, Eskimo history?
No.
It was a very monumental day. 2013. Post-game soundbite from Cavis Reed.
There has to be consequences now. There has to be consequences now. Just, there has to be consequences.
That was 12 years ago yesterday.
No way.
Does there have to be consequences now again for Edmonton after a pitiful display yesterday at Commonwealth Stadium?
One, our morning boys used that Cavis clip forever. They created a remix out of it, and I don't even know if they knew that it was the anniversary yesterday of that. But yeah, like all sorts of I guess there has to be consequences, but at the same time, it's like, what consequences can you do? You know, what are we talking about here in terms of consequences? Is it time for a change of quarterback? Is it time to cut some players and bring some people in? Like the problem is the Edmonton Elks overhauled this roster. They overhauled the whole organization, really. But they overhauled this roster back in February, and it's like, can you really do not need to give a little bit of time to allow more things to gel or to work through things? But when you have a performance like yesterday, it really is the cause for Ed Hervey and Mark Killam to sit there and have serious conversations where they might have to sit there and go, consequences, consequences. Because, like, it's the Elks have gotten better week in and week out this season. Every week, they're taking the next step on the staircase. And then yesterday came and they just fell down the entire staircase and they're twitching at the bottom of it right now. Like, I don't know what's going on with this team right now. So there's got to be some sort of consequences. The question is, where do you go first here? Where do you start first? Because there's so much new to this team that who gets the, lack of better term, short end of the stick and doesn't get the time to grow through this?
Maddie, we got this text just before we got you on. It's from Terry. Elks game in Regina. Are we finally going to see Fajardo make his debut at Mosaic?
He's never played against the Riders, will he?
Has he not?
He's always been on the sideline, either hurt or as the backup since he left with the Montreal Alouettes. He's never actually taken a snap against the Riders.
That's a good stat to have. I would be surprised if they go away from Trey to start that game. Now, Trey, I think, will go into that game on a short leash. But even yesterday, like, as I'm watching that, they took a while to go to Cody Fajardo. It wasn't until the fourth quarter that Cody Fajardo went behind center, when I would argue, if it wasn't at halftime, maybe after the first or second series of the third quarter, they should have went to Cody Fajardo because it wasn't working. Like, Trey's numbers were horrendous yesterday. They've committed to Trey Ford to be the starting quarterback of this team. Like, you look at the contract he received, the guaranteed money, the hard money keeps growing as you get into year two and year three of this deal. So they're committed to developing and growing Trey Ford as a starting quarterback. So I don't think they would be ready to have him sit for that game. Because I also think, like, there was a two-game set against Winnipeg last year. He started the first game and they lost. And immediately Jarius Jackson went to MBT for the second game. Where that was probably a time you should have let Trey try to bounce back from a poor performance. Yeah. I think that's maybe what you'll see from this coaching staff. It's allowing Trey to bounce back from this performance and see what he can do. Because, like, we saw last week against Ottawa, we saw the ceiling of Trey Ford. It's quite high. Like, it's pretty good. It's a starting quarterback in the Canadian Football League. Unfortunate thing is yesterday we saw maybe what the floor is for Trey Ford, and that's really low. And he's got to find a way to bring that floor up a bit, because games like yesterday just aren't good enough. But I don't think we'll see Cody as the starter just yet. Now, if they lose against Saskatchewan, different story for the next game against Hamilton. But I think they're going to let Trade try to maybe play through this. And I also think that that is the right move. Like, he's got to start winning, but I have no problem if I'm Mark Killam going to Trade saying, hey, you're starting this game. But we'll switch early. We'll make the switch if we have to in that second quarter going into the third quarter, so you better go produce.
Matt Iwanek joining us of Edmonton Sports Talk. EdmontonSportsTalk.com is where you find their shows. And with Trey Ford, you had to, lack of a butter him up this offseason, you know, going into a contract year and all that stuff, and tell him the things he wanted to hear. And, okay, he's the starter. But is he? Do you see franchise quarterback out of Trey Ford, or did they put the cart in front of the horse to make that decision?
This is why I'll take you back to a year ago. This is why I got so upset with the MBT signing, because we should have went through last season knowing what Trey Ford was as starting quarterback, and we shouldn't be having these conversations this year. But because they didn't play Trey Ford, we didn't still know what he was, and the Elks had to go make a move. I see what he did against Winnipeg a couple of weeks ago. I see what he did last week against Ottawa, and I see a starting quarterback there. Now, is he an elite starting quarterback? Is he Nathan Rourke? Is he Chad Kelly? At this point, I don't think I could say that's what he can become. But it's the bad where you then really sit there and be like, can he be consistent enough? So, like, honestly, to answer your questions, I don't know. I really don't know at this moment in time, because he shows the flashes of a quarterback that could make the throw. He shows flashes in games where he makes that tough throw to the sideline, or he can throw and hit the receiver in stride. But then you have a game like yesterday where he underthrows Steven Dunbar in the first drive of the game. It's an interception. That's almost the turning point. And then because of that, it's like he panics and he doesn't know what to do. And then he overforces everything. And yesterday after that, missed Rankin and missed Zach Mathis by overthrowing them, almost because he's making up for the underthrow to Steven Dunbar. You had to keep Trey unless you're sitting there saying, look, we're bringing Davis Alexander in. You know, you needed to come with some sort of starting quarterback. And that's what the fans wanted, was Trey. But they gave him a lot of money without knowing that for sure he was the starting quarterback. So that's a fair point right there. But I do see a quarterback here. The question is, can he just be consistent enough? And I feel like at this point in this season, he's regressed from last year. And that's not a good thing to say when you've just given him the keys to the car.
So, Matty, we had a situation where a game was played on, or not played on, Friday, played on Saturday here in Saskatchewan. And by all accounts, myself included, this coaching staff here should be taking a hard, long look in the mirror about that performance on Saturday. I think they need to chew on what happened on the field. And I get the sense that the coaching staff in Edmonton might be doing a similar reevaluation based on the performance on Sunday. How much blame should... A lot of talk about the quarterback here, but how much blame should Mark Killam be taking for where Edmonton is at right now?
I think a fair bit, and I think it's not just him, it's his coordinators as well, and J.C. Sherritt and Jordan McSimmick. Like, at some point, you're the coaches of the team. You set the tone for an organization, and I'll say one thing that really annoyed me about the Elks game yesterday from an Elks perspective was, like, I didn't even see a fight in them. I didn't even see, like, a care that they were losing. Like, throw your helmet. Go, you know, a BC line player, I think it was Gary Peters, got called for spearing. One of your players got speared by a BC line, and then they started taunting the crowd after that. And you just let it happen. Like, go take a 15-yard unnecessary roughness penalty yourself. Go do something to show that you care, that you are just getting destroyed by the BC lines at your home. And to me, that comes from the top. That comes from your head coach and the staff. And J.C. Sherritt, you know, first year as a defensive coordinator in professional football, he hasn't been good enough. He keeps dialing up the wrong plays, it seems. He goes for the blitzes, and they never get to the quarterback. He'll call plays, and his secondary just, you know, man coverage, and his secondary just gets beat. They can't handle it. And Jordan McSimmick, like, calls such a weird offense right now where it's way too complicated, it seems. But there's also no rhythm. There's no flow. There's no similarities week in and week out. Like, yesterday, going into the game, the BC Lions had the worst run defense in the Canadian Football League, just the worst. And the Elks didn't run the football in week one, and then yesterday they rushed the ball five times with their two running backs. Five times against the defense that has the worst run defense. And the flip side to that is the BC Lions actually have the best pass defense in the Canadian Football League going into yesterday. And you chose to just go with a passing attack. Like, it makes no sense. We don't see screens. We don't see slants. And, like, I know Paul LaPolice in SportsCenter last night even brought up a good point where it's like, why aren't you utilizing Trey's legs and having designed runs for Trey? I think every single run Trey Ford has had this year has been him
scrambling
to take off and run, him scrambling. Why would you not mix in the occasional rollout where he goes or, you know, just a straight up QB draw or something? He has a strength that not many players in this league have when it comes to his speed and his elusiveness, and you're choosing not to use it at all. So when it comes to the Edmonton Elks, like Trey, poor yesterday, the defense, they can't make a stop, you know, at all. But this also comes now down to coaching, where all eyes are going to be on Mark Killam now, where it's like, look, you wanted to be head coach for a long time. You've got it. Now you've got a bye week. You better come out and have this team ready to go, and you have to have those hard conversations. And there are going to have to be some tough decisions probably had, if not for Saskatchewan the week after, because this was such a bad loss. This is one of the worst losses that you would have had in a long time. Like, think about the time of possession. Three quarters, basically, the BC Lions had the football. Three quarters. It's ridiculous. So there's a lot of heat right now that's going towards not just Mark Killam, but him and his two OCs and Sherritt and Max Simic.
Matthew Iwanek, Edmonton Sports Talk. This has to be a nightmare for the new ownership trying to bring in new fans.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't even know what they're thinking right now, because – yeah, look, from an Elks perspective, it's not great. But last week was 16,000 in the seats. Yesterday was 17,500. You got an improvement. You know, there's a little bit of buzz. Now you're gone for a week. You go to Saskatchewan. Who knows what's going to happen, but it's not looking good about what's going to happen in Saskatchewan. Then you come on a Saturday for a long weekend. Like, I don't think this is going to be a hot sell. I don't think the tickets are something people are clamoring to go and snag up to go to this one. So, like, as bad of a start as you can have for the Edmonton Elks and Larry Thompson, his first year as the ownership. But I guess, like, this is what you kind of stuck with. This is where it's tough part for me also looking at this. Is like, I don't know where the Elks go from here if this doesn't turn around. Like, I don't know what Larry Thompson does.
Matty, quick.
That's the hard part. Pardon?
Sorry. You can finish, and I just have one last question for you.
No. But it's like, I don't know where you go with this. But yeah, like, the buzz, like any little buzz you have of that first win, it just goes away and it deflates, because it's people can handle if you lose, but not like that. Not like the performance we saw yesterday.
Matty, we just wanted to touch on this quickly before we signed off on our chat today. Oilers seem to be making more coaching changes than personnel changes right now. And you got Paul Coffey, but that's the biggest situation. He's going from behind the bench over the last couple of years back to that advisory position. Your thoughts on that and some of the new talent that's being brought in?
Yeah, it's expected. Like, when Chris Knobloch took over this team, he never got a chance to hire his own assistant. The assistants were already there and he was given them. So he was stuck with them. They stuck with the same coaching staff last year. So this is a chance for Chris Knobloch to bring on his guys. And look, they say Paul Coffey's back to being the advisor. This was always the weird situation. Paul Coffey was always the advisor to the owner and hockey operations, which is really weird, where Chris Knobloch's assistant coach is actually an advisor to the owner. So it's technically higher than him in the standing. So that was always a weird situation. It's a good thing they got that sorted out. And, you know, Paul Coffey didn't ever really seem to be a guy that wanted it. By all accounts, he was good at motivating or like talking with defenders like an Evan Bouchard, but Mark Stewart was really handling the defense. The biggest thing for locally in Edmonton is people are looking at the goalie coach. It's been a pretty divisive conversation. You know, some people not thinking it's his fault. A lot of people thinking, why is Dustin Schwartz still this goalie coach of this team? Finally, the Edmonton Oilers make a move on that one. So if you're going to run back the same goalies, maybe a different voice coaching them will change things a little bit. Maybe that will help, you know, Stuart Skinner maybe get over that hump to go win a Stanley Cup or close out some of those games. So locally, it's not even the Paul Coffey move that is the biggest story. It's the goaltending coach. That's the story. But this is one of those where it's about time Chris Knobloch gets a couple of his own people on the staff. And that's what we saw. And, you know, forced to make a move with Glenn Gullitson. And, you know, Paul Coffey never really wanted to be there. So now we'll see what, you know, Chris can get done with guys that he's choosing.
Well, Matthew, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the bye week with the Elks, and we'll see what they put up against the Riders next week in Mosaic.
You guys have a great week. Good chatting with you.
That is Matthew Iwanek. Edmonton Sports Talk, of course, has the Elks covered with their pregame and postgame coverage as well when it comes to Edmonton Elks football. More to come here on the Green Zone. Of course, fan line opening up now, 1-877-332-8255. If you want to talk more about that gong show of a Friday night, or even more of a gong show on Saturday afternoon at Mosaic Stadium. Also still to come, Belton Johnson, our CFL analyst at 5:05. It's all right here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJM.